Did we, is this us? This seems small. This seems like totally wieldy. I'm used to it being unwieldy.
See, seriously unwieldy. Mm-hmm. Hey guys, though, good news. I figured out how to do the superhero tournament episodes. I figured out how I'm going to do
that. Is that Jason?
Is it involved deletion? Deletion is deletion the answer.
Just open with news.
Yeah. Yeah. News.
Shannon, I know Chip from that podcast where he is referred to for about an hour and a half by a certain inebriated individual as not Tony.
Not Tony.
Not Tony. That person also came up with about 35 variations on the pronunciation of my last name.
Our cruel drudge.
Phil was nowhere near crocked, by the way. He's got an inhuman tolerance.
Well, that was
those of us who have worked with him know that.
He was turned off. He was next to some kryptonite or something.
Yeah.
Because, he was in his cups.
That was the furthest out I've ever heard Phil on a podcast. Let me
Steve Lutz was the voice of wisdom, and that is not a tribunal I wish to stand in front of.
Not a good idea.
He was also he was in a different room from you, right? You have no idea what was going on there.
Yeah.
Like, that's an isolation chamber.
Yeah.
You know?
It was. I was in our bedroom upstairs, and he was downstairs in the office.
Yeah.
We figured it would be best if we were nowhere near each other for that episode.
Well, you know what? It turns out he may require supervision, so.
Okay.
He's downer on sobriety. Sorry, everybody. Moving on.
Well, that was exactly what we needed from those judges. Nonsense. Yeah. All right. And we got it.
Violent indifference to canon.
Consult the index for more information about how podcasts work.
I really wanted to, I kind of wanted to put in a plug there at the end, although we didn't do like a what you're reading thing, but I'll save this in case you,
we could do that. We could splice that
track.
In. You want to splice it in? Let's do that. Let's do that.
Sure.
Let's do that right now. I'll just, it's easy.
Whoa. How much coffee did you just drink?
Okay. We're going to be drafting, no.
Jason, breathe.
All right.
Because the book started coming out in 2003. So, you know, you have to remember it was, God, this way back in the before times.
There was a time before media obsession with vampires. It's wow.
Yes. Yeah, there was.
Tell me more of this time.
Yeah. It just.
I was watching an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer the other day and thinking, boy, they just missed it by that much. The timing, it's all teen angst and vampires. And it was just a little too soon. So
I would actually argue that the Buffy and the vampire, the fan fiction that arose around Buffy may have actually been an indirect ancestor to
That's
the whole
possible.
Twilight thing. Because I think basically what it did is it softened the ground, as it were, for the seeds to pop up. Well, it was back when I think Cloak and Dagger popped into being back when Marvel Comics was doing their We're Socially Relevant and Aware, because they do these origin stories every once in a while that are clearly tapped into, this will get the kids talking, it's the zeitgeist. And
it was the early 80s. I actually remember when they debuted.
Yeah, and remember the 80s is when a lot of social attention got turned to underage runaways and street people and homeless people and things like that. And so this, you know, Marvel was happening. Marvel is hip. Marvel is now.
Now that some of the references feel dated, that's the only downside, I think, to when I have to stop and pause and think, you know, wait a minute, Menendez, oh yeah, the Menendez brothers, got it now, you know.
Yeah,
that was big in LA though, so that would
well,
be
well that easier. Was also it was also dated even back in 2003, because the Menendezes were much earlier. Mm-hmm. So I thought that reference was a little odd, but there haven't been any decent patricides in the last two decades, so.
I guess not. Well, yeah. No. Yeah, that was because that was like 1990, something like that.
Yeah.
There's a novel we've talked about on The Incomparable a couple of times. I haven't done an episode about it, but it's come up a few times. And it's a novel that I love, which is The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell.
Yeah.
Great novel.
Oh, yeah.
But if you read it, what you'll notice, I think, is that about three quarters of the way through, it goes from being an incredibly detailed novel to being a rush through the rest of the plot. Mm-hmm. And it's really disappointing because it's such a beautiful novel. And yet there's a moment where it's very clear that she just had to finish it. And it doesn't have the same pace anymore. And while I still love that novel, you can see the seams where it's not the same pace of storytelling because we got to wrap this up. And I do feel like that a little bit here. We should talk. Oh, overall, I love this story too. I really enjoy it. I enjoyed revisiting it. I think it would make a great TV series. I think it would also make a great movie. I suspect that Marvel either is keeping it in their back pocket for, you know, whenever. It doesn't need to be tied to anything. So I think it's a nice piece of intellectual property to sit on. I have a
really cynical theory about this too.
Well, my theory is that they've got this sitting there waiting for when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. craps out as their next TV venture that they can do. That would be my big conspiracy theory. I think they've been coy about the movie thing and saying they think it might be better on TV. And I kind of wonder if that's their plan, is it's going to be a TV property, but they're going to wait it out because they don't need another one right now. This doesn't really fit in with what they're doing on Netflix. So they're just kind of hang with it for a while. But I think it will be great source material for something like that when they choose to do it. And I really enjoyed it. I do think the ending is rushed. I do think that that this is the best of the Runaway stories. There are a lot of good things in Volume 2 as well, in that first story arc that I really like. And then it just sort of goes off the rails increasingly as time goes along. And, you know, we can touch on this. They did three series of Runaways, and then they are integrated into some other stuff. And there is now a new Runaway series, but it's a Civil War related thing that only has Molly in it, and the rest of them are other characters from the Marvel Universe. So, you know, what I would say is something that Lisa mentioned earlier, I'm not sure they made a good use of the Runaways. And in fact, one of the things that struck me reading this is, man, they need to do a better job of integrating these characters into some interesting Marvel Comics stories, because these are great characters. Why are they just kind of sitting here off to the side? And I have
two things. So one, my dark and cynical theory about Runaways is the reason they're not going to do anything with it is because it's predominantly a female-led ensemble, and Marvel really has a woman problem when it comes to developing stuff, because if they can't tie in a lot of merchandise and get things going, they're just not going to do it. And one of the things that's come out on like the Mary Sue and other blogs is Disney was like, we bought Marvel because we want dollars from little boys' parents. We already get girl dollars because parents of little girls buy princessy stuff. We want the dollars from parents of little boys. And so that's why we have Marvel. We're developing stuff that will separate parents from their money, because their son wants everything from Captain America. And so that's actually been one of the impetuses for a lot of the merchandising. That's been an impetus for a lot of the development when you think about it. And you take a look at the slate of movies that's come up, and the it's slightly better in the TV sphere, because, you know, you do have the Jessica Jones series. But I don't think Runaways is going to get a big push, because it's primarily female backed, and unless they were able to gender flip everybody or find a way, I don't see there being a lot of creative support, because they can't go to marketing and say, and here's where you're going to make money with your tie in stuff. That's my nasty, cynical take on it.
You could put
Agent Carter up against that.
I don't agree. I think that it's true that Disney bought Marvel because Disney skewed too female, and they wanted something that skewed more male. But I think one, it's about skewing and not completely avoiding. And I think merchandising is part of it, but it's not the whole story. And I also think that the atmosphere, the environment has changed, and they are getting huge amounts of pressure about their lack of female characters and so an ensemble that's got male and female characters in it that are young and interesting. I think it's a natural. I think the story that we've heard so far, which I think is fascinating, is they had this in development because they didn't expect to vault into the stratosphere with Avengers like they did, and that made them sort of revisit and look at this thing and say, we can do this anytime. Why are we forcing it in here now? And we're already doing Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, how many of these things do we need to take risks on? And so I think it's much more that they don't need to do it, and they're a little risk averse about something that's completely not tied in with everything else they're doing. But I don't know. I think that they're great characters, and it would be good somewhere. And it's a shame that they're not being used sort of anywhere right now, except for Molly in that spinoff.
Like, weirdly, this is the other thing, too, is there were a whole slew of new characters developed over the last 10 years, because when Grant Morrison took over New X-Men, he introduced a whole raft of folk, and and that's continued. Like, you have Mercury, who is a woman who, like, when her mutation hit, she got turned into a sentient form of Mercury. And you have the Stepford Cuckoos, who are, you know, a group of young women who were, you know, cloned from Emma Frost and have a telepathic bond. And you have Quentin Quire. You have all, and like, there are close to 20 new younger mutants who got introduced in the Grant Morrison books over the course of I think like two or three series arcs. And they've basically all been pushed to the background. So like the same X-Men that have been going since the late 1960s can, you know, I'm a leader and I'm running a school and I'm a leader and I'm running a team and so on and so forth. And I don't think that Marvel has any idea what to do with its roster of younger characters. I mean, they solved the problem of what to do with the new mutants from the 1980s by shunting them all off onto X-Factor Investigations and having most of them pop up in that book from time to time with Peter David. That book is done. They have more good characters than they know what to do with. And so my sense is, until you get some editors or some writers who can be aggressive champions for these characters and do great stuff with them, you're going to have folks who are like, it has always been my dream to write Cyclops, and so here I go. He's trying to lead us up.
Who is that?
Get a better dream, yeah,
no,
dude.
That's no, yeah, no one's dream.
Who is that?
Sorry, person much more talented than me, but like, get a better dream.
I can make Cyclops good, though. No, Tony, I will be the one to make him interesting.
No, Jason, wake up.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. That was just a. Oh my goodness. Well, I do. Here's my other conspiracy theory: is I wonder if in whatever contract that Brian Vaughn signed to do this, if he has more, I don't know, royalties or rights or something than, you know, than the creators in the past, that to get him to do this. And if that's a complication of like, well, we got to pay this guy a little bit more if we make this one. I don't know if that's true or if they are completely unencumbered or what, but because it is an oddity that he created this while he was creating all this other stuff elsewhere. Anyway, that's comic book conspiracy corner. Thanks, Tony. Yeah.
get a better dream is the best thing I've heard all night.
Yeah. Cyclops of all the characters to, although I could make that same claim for Moon Knight, right? It's like, hey, who would ever want to write Moon Knight?
Good like, day, that, sir. I said good day.
I just bought the trade based on our last comic book discussion.
Yeah, Moon Knight's off the wall. Cyclops is just
Moon Knight
dull.
Moon Knight is like 100 yeah. Cyclopses. Cyclops is like the atomic unit for interesting. So.
Yeah, but the thing is there are so many great younger characters in the Marvelverse that are absolutely getting short shrift right now, and the Runaways are just part of a larger generation of characters who are created from like 2000 on that are my sense is perhaps they're being pushed to the background because right now there is some comic book spillover from people who have come to Marvel from all of the movies and the TV yeah. shows. And so it makes sense to give those people what they came for.
Give them what they want to
like,
see.
Like, they're all in love with Robert Downey Jr. and stuff. Like, I need more Avengers.
This
Iron
goes
Man
back
stuff.
To yeah. my only somewhat conspiratorial theory, which is Runaways doesn't need to happen now. And they're riding high. And there will probably be a moment when they're not riding high anymore. And this little piece of intellectual property will still be there.
Or they'll just reboot the Avengers.
New Avengers. Secret, uncanny, new something yeah. Avengers.
That's the same thing comic books have been doing for decades.
Let's just reboot yeah. Spider-Man again. Guys, yeah. What could go wrong?
Penultimate Spider-Man. I've been. Yeah. Let me tell you my pitch for Penultimate Spider-Man. Scott Summers is bitten by a spider.
Oh
eventually
my God!
It'll be a Spider-Man reboot
He's
every year,
in the
and
eye.
Then every month, and then eventually, all of us will be slaves working on Spider-Man reboots.
Yes,
it'll be quantum reboots where we're not quite sure if they're rebooted or not.
Yeah,
rebooted.
The New World Order, where we're all part of a Spider-Man reboot.
One day, we'll all be Spider-Man.
Yeah. We're it's all. True. Uncle Ben.
Okay, I'm Spider-Man.
No.
No, I'm Spider-Man.
That's true. And you know they're yeah. not lying.
Dan and I have agreed to a death pact to watch Lucifer and podcast about it, I believe. Right, Dan?
Jenny, hey, why am I not in on this death pact? I have
you Tony, you want to be? Let me just wait. I don't yes. want to be. Is well, this I, transferable, Dan?
I love Lucifer.
I meant Wicked and the Divine is going to be a TV show. Oh, Lucifer is a TV yes. show.
I covered that in Solid Who Cares.
Sorry. I got confused about which question.
They're all TV shows, and everything if they're not, they're movies.
I thought you were making references to the angels and demons, and the angels are bad.
That also is a TV show. Yeah,
because everything is a TV show.
Everything's a TV show now.